Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to my podcast, where I tell you about Nashville's great baseball history and traditions.
Shot to right, a one-hop liner.
Certainly about its past, especially about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, but also a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
And I introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans and their love for everything baseball.
A high fly ball down the right field corner going way back. Hits a leadoff home run.
I am excited about having Betty Jane Taylor as a guest today. Betty Jane and I have known each other through her husband, Larry, who not only played for the Nashville Vols, but was basketball and baseball coach at Berry College in Rome, Georgia. Larry passed away not quite 2 years ago on April the 21st, 2022, at the age of 91. He was a good baseball friend, not just to me, but to so many. And he was a loyal member of the Nashville Old Timers Baseball Association. Now, International Women's Day was celebrated only a few days ago, but this month to recognize women is March. And here we are, and I'm happy to speak with Betty Jane and listen to a voice which framed around baseball, but so much more than that. And you're a good friend, Betty Jane. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
I usually ask those I interview to tell me about their earliest memory of holding a baseball in your hand. Although that may not be a memory for you, what can you say of the earliest event about you in baseball that you know?
Well, I got to thinking back, and when I was in the ninth grade in 1953, my best friend, Marie Fitzgerald Burr, and I asked to get out of school to go see the Nashville Vols play the New York Yankees. And we couldn't get out with just a note. We had to have a parent to come to the school so we could get out and go to the baseball game. We went to Sulphur Dell. Yogi Berra, Phil Rizzuto, and Johnny Mize are the three that I remember on that team. For some reason, I've always loved baseball. And then that summer, the summer of 53, Marie and I spent our summer riding the bus to town, getting a sack of Crystal hamburgers, walking down Fifth Avenue to Sulphur Dell. We'd go to the game, and our fathers would listen, and then they would come when the game was over and pick us up. There was no Uber then, and we weren't driving, but those are my earliest memories of baseball.
Now, and have you always just been a baseball fan since then? I mean, have you stayed with baseball?
Yeah. I do not remember going to games in college. I was at Vanderbilt and then Peabody, but I was at West High School. I went to the West High School baseball games. I went to the Nashville Vol baseball games, and I learned how to keep score. And the first date I had with Larry was to go see the Vols play. And this was when they were on their tail end. It was 1961. And I could keep score. And I used to tease him about the only reason he married me. I was the only girl he ever had a date with that knew how to keep score.
You know, my grandfather took my cousin and I one time to a game, and we smelled the popcorn. And we were wanting to get a popcorn and a Coke. And he said, not until the seventh inning stretch. Well, he was keeping score. And I think he wanted us to learn the game is what it was. And so I've always kept score, not always now with the sounds programs. You can't write in that slip paper. But anyway, I used to, and I have my son's Little League score books that I used to keep. Now, so did you fall in love with Larry watching him play?
Well, I knew who we had a blind. Our first date was a blind date. And when the friends called and said, we have this friend in town from Georgia, and we're looking for somebody for him to go out with, and they told me it was Larry Taylor, I knew who he was. I don't remember that much about his playing. He was not playing in 53 when I was hanging out down there so much. Right. But I knew exactly when they said it was Larry Taylor, I knew who it was. Yeah. So I had a crush on Jim O'Toole and Jim Constable. It was a little before Larry that I was down there watching games.
And so how did the relationship develop after going to a ball game like that on that date?
Well, this was in July and we got married in December, so it progressed rapidly.
Yeah.
And we discovered that this was when the Vols were really struggling and they sold $5 shares. You could buy a share in the Vols for $5. And we discovered that he had one share and I had two. And I used to say, well, it wasn't a marriage. It was a stock merger.
That was the only way the team could stay together was that offering of stock. I think they sold over almost 6,000 shares at $5 a piece to raise the money to pay to buy the team and to get Sulphur Dale. I was curious about from that time, he was out of baseball then, right?
Well, yeah, he was already at Berry. He had been at Berry about a year and a half or when we met and when we married, I think he had been there 2 years.
Yeah, and he went there as the basketball coach, not the baseball coach.
He went there as baseball and basketball.
Okay.
And taught academic courses in the physical education department.
And how long did y'all live in Rome? How long did he stay there?
He was there 14 years and of the 14, I was there 12.
Yeah, and I've been to Rome, Georgia, but I bet that campus is as beautiful as they come.
Oh, it is. And it's a wonderful school. It's still very special to me and has a very warm spot in my heart.
Oh, I can only imagine. Did he play basketball too? I know he played for the Vols, but in college, did he play
ball? He played basketball and baseball in college, and he's in the Catawba College Athletic Hall of Fame, which is in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Now, was he born there?
Little town, 10 miles out of Salisbury.
Yeah. And where were you born?
Nashville. I'm a Nashville native and been here most all of my life, except when we were in Rome. And then when we left Berry, we moved to Murfreesboro for 10 years and that's when he reconnected with the old timers I think when we moved to Murfreesboro and he was a member of the Murfreesboro old timers and the Nashville old timers.
Yeah. And he became president of old timers too. Yeah. 2 year term as well. Did he ever talk about teammates? Did he have a favorite teammate or two that he would talk about or that you know about?
Well, the ones that I can remember him talking about were Bobby Dernbaugh. I know he was in their wedding. And Calvin Howe. Calvin was a big old pitcher from Minnesota or Wisconsin. And Larry thought the world of both of them and Buddy Gilbert. Yeah. And he and Buddy stayed in touch. And then he would talk about Tommy Buckshot Brown and Roy Perdue.
Oh, yeah.
But those are the names that I remember him mentioning more than anybody else.
When you moved to Berry College, you had to be supportive of his profession. What did you do while you were down there at Berry? Did you work?
I was a school teacher, elementary school teacher.
Yeah. And you raised children there too, I suppose.
Yep. And both of our children were born there. And the first 3 years, I guess, we lived on the college campus. And then we had David and we outgrew our little house and there wasn't anything available on the campus at the moment. So we moved off campus into town, but living on that college campus, it was quite a family atmosphere.
Yeah. And from what I know about you, you've been a supporter of Larry's playing and coaching career. How else did you fit into his sports besides being supportive? Did he have players come over to dinner or?
I fed many a ball team. I tried every year to have all the basketball players and all the baseball players. A lot of times it would just be for a big hamburger cookout or some years I would have them in small groups. And if they had a steady girlfriend, we would have the steady girlfriend. And interestingly, the first basketball player that Larry recruited that got a full scholarship was a young man named Barry Griswold, who ended up being chairman of the Berry College Board of Trust for a number of years and contributed I don't know how many scholarships. And I used to laugh and say maybe the greatest contribution Larry made to Berry was recruiting Barry, because he really was an important part in the school. But yeah, we fed teams. We traveled on Bluebird School. I mean, you have to remember, this is small college, NAIA. We traveled on Bluebird school buses to North Georgia and West Georgia and wherever. And Larry even took the back seat out of the bus and put the playpen in it, and we'd put the kids in it. And so,
got to do what you got to do, right?
Right.
Got to raise your family. We mentioned earlier that Larry was the president of the Old Timers for a while, that he'd gotten involved with Old Timers when y'all moved to Murfreesboro. How special was Old Timers to him and to you, maybe?
Well, he thoroughly enjoyed the Old Timers, and he felt like he was giving something back for what baseball had given to him. And I loved the banquets and some of the speakers. You know, it really have stood out. But I think you and Farrell, of the young ones, were the two he felt the closest to, but probably two of the ones he really thoroughly enjoyed were Junie McBride and Jim Turner. Yeah. And you haven't lived till you've ridden in the back seat with Larry and Junie in the front seat, and Junie telling baseball stories. I loved it. Anytime I got to go along and sit in the back seat and listen to Junie talk was really special.
Yeah, those conversations on the road are very special. We get to do that some in our old timers meetings today, but we have lost out on people like Junie McBride, who have such a history that goes way back into the early part of the 20th century.
Right.
And also with Larry, for his career was a good career. I would have loved to have played. I was not a good athlete, but I would have loved to have played for Larry, knowing his demeanor and knowing you and your family. I would have loved to have played for him. He seemed like he was a fair coach and probably wouldn't put up with a lot of other things that shouldn't be going on that you see today. Was that right?
Right. And when he had the opportunity to leave and do something else, well, I think one reason he left in 73, and I think one reason was there was a change in the attitude of players. You were beginning to have more trouble with marijuana and things like that. He just didn't have any patience with kids who didn't take care of themselves, who didn't do what they should to support the team, to support their contribution to the team. And I really think that the change, overall change in the players, was one reason that he was ready to do something else. And the spring before we left, he was coaching basketball after Christmas. He was then coaching baseball. He was recruiting basketball players for next year. He was teaching his three academic courses, and the department head went on a sabbatical. And he had an extra academic course and was acting head of the department, and his hair started falling out in big patches.
I think
that contributed to doing something else too. And when I go back to Barry now, you know, there's the head baseball coach who has two or three assistants and doesn't teach any academic courses. So when you think about back in the 60s, early 70s, mid 70s, what all the roles that a small college coach played, it's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. I'm sure he had to pull the screen across the infield a time or two, too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He drove the tractor.
Line the foul line.
You did all of that. The tractor had a heavy board on it, and then, you know, a screen behind it. And our kids, I'm sure the one approved safety wise, but anyway, our kids would sit on that board and ride the back behind the tractor, and of course, be covered with dust when they got through, but they thought that was great fun.
Oh, of course. At some point, you and Larry became season ticket holders to Vanderbilt baseball games. You may have to other sports too. How did that happen? How did a relationship with Vanderbilt come? Of course, I know you said you went there.
Well, I went to Vanderbilt, and then when we moved back to Nashville in 83, I started working at Vanderbilt in 84. And as soon as I was eligible, we got season tickets for basketball. And we had season tickets a number of years for football. I think it was about the time Coach Corbin came, and they had a special senior citizen discount for tickets. And I mean, if this was 20 years ago, Larry would have already been in his 70s, and I would have qualified well for a senior ticket. You know, it was a good price and new program at Vanderbilt. So we got baseball tickets, and I guess we have had them now for about 50 years. And we kept the basketball tickets until I was taking Larry to the wheelchair section. And then we gave up football. But Vanderbilt does not have railings to go up the bleachers. And it got to the point he couldn't climb the bleachers for football. So we gave that up. So over the years, we had season tickets to all three. And when we lived in Murfreesboro, we had season tickets to MTSU basketball. So we've always wanted to be following a college and having tickets.
And you keep doing that with, even since Larry's passed away, your baseball team is the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Right. Vandyboys are my team.
All the way. Yeah. Along the way, what other friendships did you develop along the way for your personal relationships? It may be outside of sports, but maybe sports as well. Do you have close friends that you stay in touch with?
I still get together once a month with a group from West End High School. And several of us started out in the first grade together at Aiken. So we've known each other for close to 80 years now. And then there's a group of us that sit in Section G at the baseball games that have gotten to be close. We used to eat together a lot of times before the games. And it turned out when we got our season tickets that Jimmy Morrissey was sitting right behind us. And not only did Larry play with the Vols, he played in the Old City League with Hester Battery.
Yes, he did.
And he and Jimmy Morrissey played together. And so it was fun sitting there with Jimmy and Larry talking back and forth about when they played ball together. And a really funny aside is that Jimmy Morrissey was the PE student teacher when I was in the ninth grade. So I never know whether to call him Jimmy or Mr. Morrissey.
I can see that.
But yeah, we've developed a really good group there that sits in Section G. There are about 12 of us that have kind of maintained a close friendship.
Yeah, I'm finding that I have a group of high school buddies that we get together a couple of times a month. And what I was getting at was maybe the friendships that you have made over the years, they're long lasting. As long as you can. And one of those things that I count as a long-lasting friendship is any person who's been a member of the Nashville Old Timers. And Larry was always very kind to me. As I was young, my dad and I came in about the same time in early 2000. And Larry was always usually with Jenny McBride that you mentioned earlier. And the conversations would always go to something about somebody striking out somebody or what the ball and strike count was with two men on and back in the old game and stuff like that. And you just can't get that like you could back in those days. Back to the Nashville Vols. I know, did Larry, when he was with the Vols, they were Cincinnati Reds farm club. Did he ever have an opportunity? I know that he didn't. Did he ever have any conversation with anybody? Gabe Paul, the GM, do you know, did he ever say about going up?
He was always part of Cincinnati. All the teams that he played for, he played in South Carolina a couple of years before he came to Nashville. And then he played 2 years in the Army, and he had great tales about playing in the Army. And when you look at the Army team, everybody on his team in the Army was a professional player. Now, they may have been minor league or major league, but they were all professional players. And he had a hilarious tale about playing against Willie Mays. But he went to spring training with Cincinnati at least once and maybe twice, but he never made it to the majors. Of course, I feel sure if there'd been as many teams then as they are now, he would have definitely been on a major league team somewhere. But I don't remember who the shortstop was for Cincinnati at that time. But anyway, whoever it was, Larry just couldn't top him.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that Bobby Dernbaugh sadly passed away not too long ago.
Yeah.
Loved Larry Taylor. And he loved you. And I asked Bobby one time, was there ever a player that was more enjoyable than playing with than another? And Larry Taylor was the first thing he said. And also as a player, if I'm the second baseman, Bobby said, or if Larry was the second baseman, would go to the base to begin a double play. Larry always put the ball right where it needed to be so that the play can be completed to first. And I thought that was a pretty good testament for the type player that Larry was, besides being a part of Bobby's wedding.
Right.
His best man is a wedding. I think that says a lot about the relationship.
Yeah.
Right there. So yeah, I just kind of wonder whether he ever mentioned that. He late in his career he went to Visalia, California. I think he actually left the Vols earlier.
No, the Cincinnati sent him to Visalia as a player manager.
I see.
I think he finished out the year there, and he decided that being a player manager was not for him. And I think he decided he didn't really want to manage in pro ball. And he came back and worked at Jimmy Ean's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
And in the winters, when he was playing for the Vols, he went to Peabody and earned his master's. And so while he was at Jimmy Ean's, the head of the PE department at Berry called Peabody and asked Dr. Ruth if they had somebody they'd recommend to come teach and coach. And he suggested Larry. And Larry went down and said that they were touring the campus. And Berry had an academy up that was 3 miles up in the woods from the college. And he said he and Dr. Dickey were going up the road to see the academy, and a deer ran across the road, and he thought, ooh, this is a really pretty place. I think I'd like to stay.
And he did.
He got the job. But Visalia was his last round with Cincinnati. And I think he was really just a good natural athlete. He could pick up the tennis racket and play. And he was, I don't remember what his best handicap in golf was, but he was a good golfer.
Good golfer, too. And he retired from the QSP division of Reader's Digest. How long did he do that?
In the fall of 83, he went with a division of Southern Living that did school fundraising. Yeah. And that's when we moved to Murfreesboro. It's where the kids sell magazines and candy and that kind of thing. So he was going around calling on schools all over Middle Tennessee. And that division got bought by Reader's Digest in the QSP division. And he did that till he retired in about 96. So probably 13 or 14 years.
Right. Yeah. And I knew you were members of Belmont United Methodist Church. One time you had me come there and speak to a group, which was terrific for me. I'm not sure it's terrific for y'all.
Oh, it was.
I loved it. And you decorated the tables with baseballs and pennants. And I thought that was terrific. But you guys have served Meals on Wheels and you have served the homeless. And I think that's a testament to the kind of people that you and Larry have been also. Tell me about your family. I know you mentioned your son and your daughter, and tell me their names and where they are and grandchildren. Oh,
David's our older child and he's in Nashville. And then Stella and her husband and children are in California, and they have four. The oldest just graduated from the Imperial College of London with a master's in genetics.
Awesome.
She hasn't got an athletic bone in her body, but she's smart as a whip. The next one, son, Matthew, is at Claremont McKenna College in California, and he's a pitcher on the baseball team.
Just
transferred there from community college. And the next grandson is at Skyline Community College, where Matthew went, and he's in his second year. And if anybody's looking for a catcher, he's batting over 400 and his fielding percentage is 0.993. and he's a darn good catcher.
And you better say his full name in case anybody's listening.
Ethan Bergen. I know a couple of West Coast colleges are talking to him. And then Caroline is a junior in high school, and she plays lacrosse. And then David has a daughter, Sachi, who is an equestrian. They have five grandchildren. Nice group of kids.
Yeah. And one time, did Larry tell me that he went to Willie Mays' home visiting your daughter?
Well, Willie Mays lives in the same vicinity as the California Bunch. And on Halloween, he opens his house and gives out baseballs to the kids who come trick-or-treating. So the two grandsons and their dad had been there the year before, and we were there on Halloween, and they took Larry to go trick-or-treating at Willie Mays. So when they were there, Larry was telling Willie Mays about playing against him in the Army. And I don't know that I can get the story exactly right, but anyway, fly ball was hit. Willie misjudged it, and it hit him on the top of his head and bounced over the fence. And so Larry's telling him that, and Willie says, no, that wasn't me. That was Joe Blow, whoever.
Of course. Yeah.
Anyhow.
That's a funny story.
Yeah. But Larry thoroughly enjoyed them taking him to Willie Mays' trick-or-treating.
Well, it's just like being with Larry and Junie McBride. The stories, they grow more fonder, I think, and there's nothing like them. Well, I want to thank you for this time. I just want to tell you on a personal note, we talked a lot about Larry, but I wanted you, because of the emphasis on women during the month of March, International Women's Month, and I just missed a couple of days, Women's Day, but I honor you, and I think that you've been terrific. I know you've been a great partner for your husband, Larry, and certainly a mother and grandmother for your family. I admire you, and I look forward to seeing you at the next Vanderbilt baseball game that we attend at the same time. And I want to thank you, and I just can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Skip. I look for you at the Hawk.